This week on Peace Talks Radio, a stolen symbol of peace, a new statue in Seattle, and the remarkable story of Floyd Schmoe, who first built Peace Park.
Peace to me really is that children can have a childhood. I mean, of course it's more than that, and it's different things to different people, but for me it's just that children should be able to have a childhood free of war, that no bomb should be dropped on them.
That was one of Floyd's favorite things to say, was we cannot survive, even if nuclear war never actually happens, we cannot survive the preparations for it, because it distracts us from what we need to do to support each other.
The history of Peace Park and the role of art in peacemaking, coming up now on Peace Talks Radio. This is Peace Talks Radio, the radio series and podcast on peacemaking and nonviolent conflict resolution. Whether it's the search for inner peace, harmony in our closest relationships, or understanding in our workplaces, schools, neighborhoods, and beyond, we explore it here on Peace Talks Radio. From personal moments to global movements, we consider what it takes to build a more peaceful world. In the summer of 2024, someone crept into Peace Park in Seattle. They apparently took a saw to the legs of a statue there, made of bronze, which presumably they could melt and sell. When they were done, all that was left were a pair of small feet wearing a pair of sandals. The statue was of a girl named Sadako Sasaki, who at the age of 12 died from cancer caused by radiation exposure. She was from Hiroshima, Japan. The radiation was from the bomb the United States dropped on her city in August of 1945. She became famous for folding more than 1,000 paper cranes while in the hospital, hoping that if she made enough, she could be granted a wish. She desperately wanted to live. Her story became famous around the world. Meanwhile, in the United States, a Quaker and peace activist named Dr. Floyd Schmoe fought against the incarceration of Japanese Americans during World War II. Many years later, in 1988, Dr. Schmoe won the Hiroshima Peace Prize for his activism. He used the prize money to clear a small lot near the University of Washington and create Peace Park, where the statue of Sadako was installed in 1990. She stood there, a human-shaped question mark, asking what peace really means, what it costs, who it's for, until July 2024, when the statue disappeared. Now, Seattle artist Saya Moriyasu has been commissioned to build a new statue. Correspondent Anna Van Dyne spent an afternoon with Saya, learning about Sadako, the park, and the role art plays in peacemaking.
For someone who maybe has never been to Seattle, what kind of a neighborhood is this? Can you situate us?
So we're near the University of Washington, and we're next to University Street Bridge, which is a small bridge for cars to go over. And we're on the Peace Park, which is a small strip of land next to a road. So that's why you hear lots of cars. And there's a bike path and a path running alongside it. So there's people biking, and you can hear in the distance, you can hear probably I-5. Lake Union is not far away, but we can't see it. There's a line of trees that block it, as well as buildings.
I mean, it just feels like the kind of place that you could go by without ever noticing it. It seems unassuming.
This park is completely unassuming. It is a very small strip of land that formerly a lot of people going to the University of Washington would park their cars on, or maybe leave an abandoned car or piles of garbage. But now it has grass and trees that line it, and it is a beautiful, very small park.
In the middle of this very small park, there are two very small feet made of bronze. This is all that's left of the statue of Sadako Sasaki, the young girl who died of cancer caused by radiation exposure from the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima in 1945. Sadako and her story have become a call for peace around the world.
For somebody who can't see these bronze feet, what do they look like? Can you conjure up an image?
The feet are made out of bronze, and bronze weathers, so they have a slightly bluish tinge. The feet are wearing Japanese shoes, zori, and tabi socks, which are split at the toes. So that's all that remains. And on either side of her are two big lavender bushes that are blooming, and there's bumblebees on them, and surrounding her feet are artificial flowers that somebody has brought to her, and some paper cranes.
What do you feel standing here and looking at the feet of this statue that's been taken away?
I feel a deep sadness that she's gone and that she was taken away, but I'm also very thankful that her feet are still here as something, some part of the original.
Saya Moriyasu thinks a lot about these feet. She's been commissioned to create a new sculpture to replace the statue of Sadako, which was stolen in 2024. It's a complex, challenging assignment. It's full of history, memory, harm, and hope. Saya and I sat down in her studio to talk about Sadako and how she's approaching this work. Saya, who was Sadako? Could you tell her story?
Sure. Sadako Sasaki was 2 years old in Hiroshima when the atomic bomb hit the city. She didn't live that far from the epicenter, and she was with her mother and her grandmother and her older brother. And they were in their house. It was a beautiful blue sky day. And then the bomb hit, the mushroom cloud, and they made it away. And well, I think while that was happening, or maybe when they arrived at a safer distance, the black rain hit them. So the black rain was the fallout from the atomic bomb. So it rained down on all their bodies. Nobody knew what an atomic bomb was. It was the first atomic bomb used on a major city. And the family had to struggle for years after that. But Sadako was healthy. Her brother was healthy. Her mom was healthy. They were living and trying to recover as much as they could. They were very poor because of the bomb, and they lost their house and lost everything. But 10 years later, she got sick. She had been a runner. She'd been in school. Her name means happy child. And then she started to get sick. Her neck swelled up, and they didn't want to think it was what it was.
Well, what it was that Sadako, who was then 12, had leukemia, which was caused by exposure to radiation from the bomb a decade before. And this brings us to the most well-known part of her story, which is that while she was in the hospital, she folded origami cranes. There's a Japanese tradition where if you fold 1,000 paper cranes, you can make a wish. And Sadako wanted to wish for her health to come back, but it didn't work. And after several months in the hospital, she died, which started kind of a movement. Saya, can you talk about what happened after Sadako's death?
When she passed away, Sadako's classmates were really devastated because, it's 10 years since the war. You think the war is over, we've made it, life's moving on, they're thinking about their futures, and then Sadako just gets taken down like that. So they, with a teacher, they said, well, we've got to do something. The children in Hiroshima have suffered so much. We want to make a statue of Sadako. And they got together. There was going to be a principals conference in Hiroshima, which meant that there was 2,000 principals from all over Japan. So they made flyers, and they stood and passed them out for a couple of days. And it just started to build from that. So I think it was 1955 is when she passed away. And 1958, I believe, was when they erected the children's memorial at the Hiroshima Peace Park, a memorial for all the children who have died as a result of war and to wish for peace. So that's a very popular spot. At the Hiroshima Peace Park, there is a statue of Sadako. She's holding a huge crane, and then there's a couple other figures on the side that are kind of distressed looking and falling. And there's a bell underneath that. And then surrounding that are glass cases where people fold 1,000 cranes for wishing for peace.
So Sadako and her origami cranes have become synonymous with the call for peace and the end of innocent suffering. And her story has become famous around the world. It's been retold as a children's book, which is often read in classrooms, and then students learn to fold paper cranes themselves. Saya, why do you think Sadako's story has resonated with people around the world and with Americans? Why has she become such a symbol?
I think that it's just a way for people to care about one child's story, because sometimes there's so much pain and suffering out there that you can't see the big picture. But if you just think of one child and one child's story, it can help you make room in your life for peace.
So why was there a statue of her here in Seattle, too?
So in probably the late 80s, a Quaker named Floyd Schmo he had done a lot of activism and peace work throughout his life, and he decided that Seattle should have a peace park. And there was a strip of land across the street from the University Quakers that was run, cars parked on it. It was run down, full of garbage. So he worked slowly and tirelessly with a whole community of people to create Seattle's Peace Park. And as part of that Peace Park, Floyd Schmo wanted to have a Sadako sculpture.
This is Peace Talks Radio. I'm speaking with artist Saya Moriyasu about the new sculpture of Sadako Sasaki she's working on for Seattle's Peace Park. The original statue was installed in 1990, and then in 2024, it disappeared. No one knows exactly why, but presumably it was stolen so the bronze could be melted and sold, and only Sadako's feet were left. After the theft, several Seattle organizations came together to work to replace the statue and restore the park, and Saya has been commissioned to create a new statue of Sadako and design the surrounding space. Saya, what was your reaction when you found out that the statue from Peace Park had been stolen?
There has been a lot of bronze stolen in Seattle and surrounding areas, so it wasn't so surprising, but it was kind of gut-wrenching that that was the one that got stolen this time. But at first, the community didn't know, well, you know, why she was cut down, and it did really hit the community, this Japanese-American community and the Quaker community, like a hate crime. So it was kind of different than other things getting stolen for metal. It just, you know, is she coming back? How do we look for her? Where is she gone? And then at a certain point, I think just people kind of concluded that it was for the metal and she was gone.
Well, so now you have been commissioned to design a new statue. How are you approaching that? What are you working on?
So they asked several artists to do proposals. I approached this commission first in the proposal stage by really researching, by thinking about where that the Peace Park location, how the Cheshiyahu Trail goes through there, which was the Duwamish chief that was the last person to kind of live an indigenous lifestyle along Lake Union. So Peace Park is in that trail. So I was thinking about that, and then also I had seen the documentary Houses for Hiroshima about Floyd Schmo, who was a University Friends member, a Quaker, who commissioned the sculpture. So I really did a deep dive and did a lot of research about him and looked in the archives. And then I knew Sadako's story, but I read more books and things online to learn more about her. So I was sort of, that was my process, to sort of learning and saturating myself with things and then kind of weaving a visual out of that.
So could you describe what this statue will look like, what it will be made of, and what it means?
I will make a statue of Sadako that will be made out of aluminum, because aluminum can't be stolen. And the original proposal call said that they wanted to have Sadako's bronze feet somewhere in the park. So the original bronze, she was the schoolgirl wearing a Japanese schoolgirl's outfit. But for some reason, she had traditional Japanese tabi socks and geta, the shoes. So it seemed a little incongruous to me because I don't think she would have worn those shoes with that schoolgirl outfit. And I'm not really sure what the choice was. But I thought I wanted to have a feeling of protection and love for that tradition and her feet. And so I decided to sculpt her with a kimono. And also the kimono would enable me to have a story with the kimono design, to kind of weave the stories of Cheshire Yahud and Floyd Schmo and Sadako together and peace and kind of having a visual about that. And then above her will be three oversized ginkgo leaf structure that will just kind of further have that feeling of protection or surrounding and being cared for. And the ginkgo leaves are a symbol of remembering. And in Japan, there's a particular ginkgo tree that survived the atomic bomb and is very beloved and well taken care of. So kind of weaving those symbols together. And then between the ginkgo stems will be seats. So there'll be four kind of oversized seats that people can sit on because people like to fold paper cranes as a remembrance of Sadako and wish for peace and leave them at the site. So it gives them a place to kind of be more. And then there'll be a sign explaining the three stories that I'm weaving together.
So we'll have symbolized the story of Sadako, the guy who made the park in the first place, and the indigenous history of the area. That's like a very strong braid of stories that you're bringing together.
It just made sense to include those three stories because of the site and because talking about peace and the different forms of peace, how it comes in different forms. So for Cheshire Yahud, it's the peace of being able to live your indigenous lifestyle, free of colonialism and settlers taking over your land. And for Floyd Schmo, it was constantly walking the path of peace by building houses in Hiroshima, helping the Japanese Americans before and after they were sent to concentration camps in the U.S., and Sadako Sasaki, who was a young girl who peace to her would have just been living a normal life without ever having an atomic bomb dropped on her city.
Is there anything of your own life or background or experience that you are noticing or intentionally finding yourself infusing into this work?
Well, my family was in Hiroshima and Hiroshima Prefecture when the atomic bomb hit. So my father was a young child when that happened. He was not in the epicenter of the bomb, but he was about 11 miles away. So he went into the next day because his family had trucks and they went into the city to look for relatives and friends and their maid that had gone in the day before when the bomb hit. And so he saw things that a small child should never have seen. So what I'm working on this, it's coming from my history as well. And my mother and my grandmother and grandfather moved from Japan when they retired. And my grandmother practiced Japanese tea ceremony. And she started teaching my mother. And together they started Wakai Tea School in Portland, Oregon, which still exists. And Wakai literally means peace club. So I feel like there's a lot in my history that made me the artist to do this, that makes me want to do this and also not want to do this because it's difficult.
How do you deal with the difficult parts?
How do I deal with the difficult parts? I cry. I read more. I just try to think how maybe this sculpture can help people keep peace in their mind and abolish atomic bombs.
Why is art important for peace?
Well, art gives your eyes something to land on, to take a moment longer. And since in this piece in particular, since there'll be details on her kimono and a sign and kind of some symbolism that you might need to think about a little, like, you know, are those big ginkgo leaves? Why is Chehesh Yahud on her kimono? And things like that. And who is Floyd Schmo? And because we all have our phones and we can Google things, that it'll hopefully initiate a little deeper look into some of these lives and to think, why, what is peace to them?
As the person who's making this, what is peace to you?
Well, peace to me really is that children can have a childhood. I mean, of course, it's more than that, and it's different things to different people, but for me, it's just that children should be able to have a childhood free of war, that no bombs should be dropped on them.
When you say all of that, I think about how our present moment is not entirely peaceful. In some places, it's very far from peaceful. What will this statue and Peace Park in its new iteration, what will that mean in the present moment? And how might that be different from what it meant when it was first put up, or what it might have meant in 1945?
Well, I know that when Floyd Schmo went in 1990, when the piece was presented, the Sadako sculpture was presented, he stated in an article that the Berlin Wall had come down, and he said, I think he was like remarking that it was a generally like some great strides had come and things had moved on. And I think in 1958 or 9, when the Sadako sculpture went up in Japan, I know that from reading that her classmates were truly worried about a third bomb being dropped on Japan. And the fact that those children had to live with that thought, so peace to them was like, please don't do this again to us. And then today, it's just unbelievably, the never again now is upon us.
Do you feel like comparing where we are today with when the atomic bomb was dropped on Japan, that the world is a more peaceful place? That we've come somewhere?
It doesn't feel like it. It feels like a very, very, very difficult time with kind of a rise of fascism. And it's a very, very, very hard moment in world history. Again, it's something that we didn't think that we'd have in our lifetimes when I was growing up. We hope not. We were worried definitely about the buildup of nuclear arms, but now it's, even though there's still atomic bombs out there and the U.S. has not signed the agreement to do away with them, but they're not remembering the real cost.
What can artists do in this moment? Like, not just you, but in general, what is the ability of an artist to encourage peace?
Well, I'm not going to tell anybody what they need to do as artists. I mean, I think that being an artist is a form of resistance to begin with. So I will say, if you're making art, it doesn't have to be political. You being doing something outside of the norm is a sort of resistance, and hopefully working towards peace on some other level. But I do see that many artists use their tremendous talents to visually tell stories that help promote peace or educate people and hopefully help others to see something that they're not seeing, and to maybe activate something or talk to people about things that are going on.
And that seems to be what you're doing with this sculpture of Sadako, weaving together these stories of peace and conflict, past and present, with her kimono, the ginkgo leaves, the bronze feet from the original.
it's not a simple work of art at all, but I guess, you know, neither is the work of peacemaking. What do you want someone who comes to visit this new sculpture to think and to feel and to experience?
I would hope that when people come to the park, that because it will be more of a landing spot than something that you just bike or drive or walk by, that they might take a moment to read the sign, because part of this is educational. So there will be a sign, because prior to this, Sadako had no sign, a very small sign, and it didn't explain who she was. So people would often, when people were there putting up cranes or doing something, people would go, "Why is this girl here?" So I would hope that it becomes more of a tool for people to consider peace in their lives and what it means and what it looks like, and to feel more comfortable to gather around her and enjoy the space.
When will it be real? When will people be able to visit it in Peace Park in Seattle?
Well, our goal, and when I say our, it's, you know, like everything that I've been talking about, it's not one person, it's many people coming together to make something happen. Our, you know, if we are successful getting through the bureaucracy and getting permission, and we also have to afford the sculpture. So this year, on August 6th, is the 80th anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima. And so we're shooting for August 6, 2026 to have the sculpture in place, and hopefully it will happen.
Well, Saya Moriyasu, thank you so much for joining us on Peace Talks Radio.
Thank you so much.
For Saya, this new sculpture she's creating of Sadako Sasaki won't just be a little girl in a kimono. She will be hundreds of thousands of children. And the park won't just be a small piece of land in Seattle. It will be hundreds of thousands of places around the world, both peaceful and not. The group working to renew Peace Park is, as of fall 2025, fundraising to complete the project and ensure the space can be taken care of for years to come. Until then, Sadako's bronze feet still stand in Peace Park, surrounded by lavender bushes, buzzing bees, and paper cranes.
That was correspondent Anna Van Dyne with Seattle artist Saya Moriyasu talking about the stolen statue of Sadako Sasaki, her enduring legacy, and the role of art in peacemaking. You can find images of Sadako and Saya's work in progress on our website, peacetalksradio.com. In part two of our program coming up next time, we'll talk with one of the leaders of the group working to restore Peace Park and hear the fascinating life story of the Quaker peace activist who started it. Sadako's story of paper cranes and hope in the shadow of Hiroshima reminds us that art can carry memory across generations and can invite us into dialogue about peace in our own communities. That's what Peace Talks Radio has tried to do for more than 20 years, bring forward voices of everyday peace builders, artists, educators, and organizers, and share their stories on public and community radio stations across the country. Our programs are now heard on more than 65 stations, including 4 in Washington State: KODX Seattle, PNW Bellingham, KSER Everett, KSVR Skagit Valley, and KGHI Westport. Support comes from listeners like you. Also, the Albuquerque Community Foundation Ties Fund. Support, too, from KUNM at the University of New Mexico. Thanks so much for listening to and for supporting Peace Talks Radio.